Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Unconventional Wellness Radio, and I hope that you had the best of Christmas and any of the other holiday that you are participating in. I hope it's going wonderful and you're having a wonderfully happy holiday season. Today, I have a special guest who I've had the pleasure of knowing now for about the past 3 or 4 years. I met him when we were establishing our farm in the northern portion of Asheville. We didn't necessarily know of his place when we kind of first moved into Western North Carolina, but had the pleasure of being able to meet him. And one thing that struck me when I first met my friend Brooke was his just unbelievably wonderful smile. He actually greeted us with a really big smile and absolutely made us feel like at home at his place of business, which his place of business, which got him started with us knowing about sustainable lifestyles and regenerative practices on our farm, was a place called LOTUS. And LOTUS is actually an acronym that it stands for urban sustainability. So it's living only through urban sustainability, if you want to Google that. And he's got 3 locations now. He's in Asheville, and then he moved down to Greenville and opened a location there. And then he moved up into Johnson City and moved up, and actually has a location up in there as well. So if you're listening to this podcast, by all means, Google LOTUS, whether it's in Asheville or Johnson City or even Greenville, and you will be able to get your hands on everything that they can do, from simple backyard, you know, gardens all the way up through large scale operations. So without further ado, if I may, I'd like to introduce you to Brooke Sheffield on our call today. How are you doing, Brooke?
Doing good, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so, I really wanted to talk to you, of course, with your new venture, but before we get there, I want to talk to you about, like, everything that's kind of led up to this point, and then what do you see for the future? And so, you know, the Agricultural Act of 2018, thank God we finally got it passed before that, or else we would have had to call it 2019, but it's passed, it's signed into law, and it essentially really looks at the hemp industry, is that correct?
It's definitely one of the major tenets of the bill, and that's what a lot of farmers are really excited about, because this is opening the door to an industry that we haven't had access to in a while, and it should be very, very successful and very profitable for America.
And I know that, you know, hemp and its products were being used mainly, like, we really started finding out about them back in the 1940s and, like, World War II. Is that right? Like, a lot of textiles were created and things like that to support the war effort?
There's a rich history of hemp in our country, and we've grown it and used it in times of war, in times of need, and it's kind of been a strange history because that disappeared, and at some point in time, it was basically eradicated from the American history, and we haven't had access to it for tens of years, and so now to have it reintroduced back into the agricultural kind of stream, and right when we desperately need to fill these voids of where tobacco and some other textile industries have gone, which is basically south. We've lost a lot of that production, and things are changing. So it's a welcomed opportunity to get back to kind of our historical farming roots of hemp and see if we can't, you know, start a new age for the American farmer with it.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point that you bring up there, because I love the fact that you said restore to our roots, because honestly, that's what a lot of this push for modern farming, quote unquote, modern, you know, homestead style of farming actually is all about. If you guys aren't aware, if you're listening to this call, like, people are showing a big migration toward trying to get back to those same roots that Brooke just talked about. And, you know, hemp is just one of many different things that people are looking to do. I mean, I myself am a city boy turned farmer. You know, I was raised in Central Florida and pretty much lived around cities my whole life. And then just one day, my wife and I just go, we're on this journey of natural wellness, and we want to create a lifestyle that we can really be happy about and raise our kids with. And so we moved into what Brooke has now been doing for many years, which is, you know, just farming, producing quality things, and really just helping the environment. Before we say any more about any of the, you know, new legalities regarding hemp and stuff like that, let's talk about you, Brooke. Does that sound good? Okay.
Yeah, sure thing. I love
so I'm going to put you on the spot because a lot of people don't necessarily do well talking about themselves, and I'm pretty sure that you'll be just fine. So why don't you give us a quick introduction about what got you started with farming, when did you start farming, and sort of like your trials and errors, if you will, that you've kind of learned over the years to get you where you are today.
Yeah, well, the story really starts with where I was born and raised, which was Eastern North Carolina, an area that's very excited about new hemp opportunities. But I grew up seeing tobacco fields, cotton fields, grew up gardening in the backyard with my father, and eating fresh food from my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up with a lot of fresh food, a lot of farming around me. I wasn't by any means a farmer or in a farm family, but fresh food and the farming atmosphere was a part of the way of life in Eastern North Carolina. And that was something that became a part of me. And eventually, in my late 20s, I began to go back to those roots. And so it's been a journey to kind of get back to where I came from. You know, in between then, I've done sales jobs in the alcohol and craft beer industry. I've worked in restaurants, traveled extensively in the U.S. But I've come back to Western North Carolina and basically began to fulfill a dream of homesteading and living off the land and providing, you know, fresh and healthy food for myself and my family. And that's kind of where I'm still on that mission. I'm still currently pursuing that. And so now I'm about in my late 30s, and we are working real hard to continue that dream of farming and homesteading, but now we're moving into this larger hemp venture. So my story really is just one of kind of just struggling to find your way in life early on and figuring out what you like, and then realizing that it's a very simple answer that going back to farming and doing things that man has done for, you know, thousands of years is a really easy way to satisfy oneself, stay healthy, and kind of get back in tune with nature. And so that's basically where I'm at right now, is back to that original mission, is let's grow some food, let's live healthy, let's live naturally, let's try to live simply. And that's kind of my motto right now. And so hemp is an exciting adventure that fits right into that, because it speaks to the roots of my youth, watching the tobacco fields and cotton fields, and those industries have disappeared, and now we're about to see those reignited, and some of these old farmlands turned back on, and some of these old tractors fired back up. And so that's kind of the story, the quick story of my journey right now, and that's kind of what has led me to meeting you and a lot of other great people in the area that are homesteading and kind of building this kind of natural way of life for themselves. And so that kind of brings us here today.
Well, absolutely wonderfully put. It's pretty amazing, actually, the kind of, if you were to look like per capita for individuals who are moving into the area, not just people that have always lived here, but people that are moving into the area, I would offer that there is quite a bit of saturation in a good way, not in a bad way, but a very good way, of people who are just moving to this area to farm. You know, people say that moving in the mountains or whatever, that farming is incredibly difficult, but people are being innovative and they're figuring out really good ways to create some really good products. And I mean, since the 1990s that I can remember, Asheville has always been touted as one of those cities that is very cognizant of being a green city. Like, they want to support farmers. They want to, you know, buy local. They don't want to put chain restaurants all over the place. And there's been a lot of this farm to table concept that I think that Asheville has led in many, or in the last couple of decades now, and it's just starting to kind of ignite all over the rest of the country. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And I love your mantra of live simply. I think that's a very good mantra for you to have. And I know that you now we'll talk about your production here in a second, but, you know, I want to kind of build the anticipation. I'm sorry for you guys that are listening, but I'm all about building anticipation. And so tell me, please, about the different types of practices that you have learned over the course of launching your business, Lotus, and beyond, to kind of give you that experience and understanding of what you are now doing with the hemp industry.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, my profession for the last 6 years has been, well, really 7 or 8 years, has been in the supply world. So I've been supplying farmers and teaching young gardeners and old alike how to have successful crops.
Okay.
So I've been focusing on my stores, Lotus Farm and Garden, in the three states, and basically learning and growing at the same time while operating these retail stores. And that's allowed me to develop, you know, larger connections within the industries, and it's also allowed me to have great connections within my local area. And that's what kind of led me into the hemp industry in general. I was at work one day, basically, and a customer came in and was really excited about all the new hemp news. And us, my team as suppliers and retailers, we're just happy to make a sale. We're happy to, hey, yeah, we can help you out with this. We'll find this product for you. And this started happening over and over and over again. Customers started coming in. And like you said, Asheville's a really unique place. So these people in our area caught on to this really first and fast in the state. And so we were seeing some really cool ideas, and we were seeing people jumping into this new industry. And we said, hey, you know what? We're passionate about farming. We already currently farm. We raise animals, pigs, goats, you know, chickens, bees. You know, we farm aquaponic and hydroponic lettuce. And so farming was already something we were doing, just not on a really large scale. And so after seeing hemp farmers come into our stores and talk about the excitement of this new crop that they were going to be allowed to grow, we decided to get involved, and we decided to grow it ourselves. And that's kind of what's led to the new project that I've got called Smoky Mountain Medicinals, which is my hemp distribution company and farm name for all of my hemp efforts, basically, here in Asheville area. And so my retail experience is really what I have to thank for being introduced to this, because we have the best customers. We have some of the best farmers in Western North Carolina and in the upstate of South Carolina and Tennessee. And there are very rich hemp programs being developed in Tennessee, North Carolina, and South Carolina right now. And so I really owe it to our customers to turning me on and exciting me about the hemp industry. And that's what's led me to now just completed my first full year in the hemp farming game, if you will.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I didn't even realize that it's actually been that long already. That's really amazing to hear. And so, you know, you've taken a lot of that experience about your history of understanding hydroponics where you first started. I remember one of the first things that brought us there was your hydroponic setup. You have like an entire hydroponic setup right there in the Asheville store. And we were just mesmerized at the fact that you were growing this really amazing looking, you know, lettuce. And then I guess you moved into aquaponics. Can you tell a little bit about how that transition's been for you?
Yeah, well, you know, Lotus, like you said earlier, is about sustainability. And that's, you know, part of our lifestyle and part of our mission as an organization is to be sustainable and also to be on the leading edge of technology. In the current climate changes and crises that we're having around the world, food security is a really big issue. And also having sustainable food security is probably the number one issue, I think, that affects the world. So we looked to hydroponics initially because the water consumption was much less than typical farming, and you didn't have to have very fertile soil to do it. Now, we saw the successes of hydroponics, and then we began to see the successes of the aquaponics industry, and that's where the aquaculture industry, which is fish farming, kind of married itself to the hydroponic industry. And so you took these two industries that both had problems, and they tried to solve each other's problems by coming together. And what they did was they created a sustainable method for raising fish and plants in just about any kind of area. I mean, you have to have some different controls depending on the climate, but aquaponics is a feasible way to grow fish and plants together. It uses much less water, about 90% less water than conventional farming. It has to be pesticide and chemical free or else the fish would die. And so naturally we gravitated towards this production of growth or this growth production method because it was just the natural answer to how can we be sustainable? How can we produce better, safer quality food? And then to throw in the fact that we can raise fish with it, which allows us to no longer take fish and rob our waterways and pollute waterways and affect those ecosystems. So we can grow healthy fish, healthy plants, all chemical-free, all with an organic basis based on biological life. This is not a chemical situation in the sense that we're putting any synthetics in there. And so it's just a wonderful marriage of two industries that has resulted in a sustainable way to grow protein and plants together. And it's just, it's a pleasure to work with. It's a lot of fun. And I personally believe it's an excellent teaching method when you put these into schools, which is currently what I'm doing right now. We are building some of these technologies into classrooms.
Oh, awesome.
And so yeah, that's how we kind of got into that. It was just a natural movement towards a more sustainable production of greens and protein.
Yeah, and so now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're utilizing similar methods now for your Smoky Mountain Medicinals hemp production. Is that correct?
Yes, we've got a number of different styles of growing hemp right now. Given that it's been our first real year, we've undergone a bunch of research and development and a bunch of trials. So we've been growing hemp a bunch of different ways. And by that, I mean different nutrient programs, different canopy management strategies. And we are getting into the aquaponic hemp world, which is a really kind of rare thing. There's not a lot of people out there doing it. I do know a couple of folks out there. Steve Dredd, he's a great guy in the podcast world that we follow. He runs a podcast called Growing with Fishes. That's a great opportunity to learn about aquaponics and hemp and cannabis in general.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's our goal, is to really hone in our techniques, make them sustainable, make them organic, and grow the best possible product that we can while having the smallest impact we can on our planet.
Awesome. That's just, I hope that you guys understand that this is somebody who is an absolute innovator in his own right. I mean, I had the opportunity of going down to Smoky Mountain Medicinals and actually seeing his operation. I tell you what, guys, it was like just it's so night and day, because a lot of folks around here, especially in our state, are actually growing, cannabis or hemp. They're growing the hemp outside. They're growing it out on a farm, which is, of course, don't get me wrong, it's great, especially if you're following sustainable practices. But Brooke has taken it those additional steps to like have an environment in which that hemp plant can actually thrive. And so I don't know if I can mark this out to you, but really he's got it to where everything is rowed appropriately. Everything has its own received, gravity fed. I walked in there. He's got logs about different water amounts that were being used. And he's got, what I thought was great, as a prior service military person myself, he's got veterans on board. And so you want to just kind of maybe let us know how's that working out for you. I mean, it looks on the pictures that I see, you got beautiful looking plants that are growing, but what has been sort of your trials and errors with that as well, if you don't mind walking through that?
Yeah, well, agriculture, especially controlled environmental agriculture, it's short, they call it CEA. It's been around for a while, and so growing in controlled greenhouses is something that we've already been utilizing for our lettuce production, our tomato production, and all of our fish breeds. We've got this opportunity to grow a new crop. We really, as farmers, our goal is to grow the best crop we can. And us being urban farmers and farming, near town, in old greenhouse structures and older facilities that have been revamped, we don't go out and buy a tractor and just start planting new crops. Well, we'll try this in the greenhouse first and see how we can really grow this plant, because you don't really know how well you can grow it until you can really control that environment. So we basically did the same thing that lots of people are doing around the country, whether it's for tomatoes, cucumbers, lettuce, strawberries. We took our production indoors because that allows us to grow the highest quality product by controlling the environment. And that will allow us to see what we can really do with this crop.
Okay.
I can tell you right now, it's been amazing, and I wouldn't do it any other way. I think there's a great opportunity to farm hemp outdoors as well, but for the highest quality cannabis production, for growing homeopathic medicines, and for growing products that can actually help people, I really, really think that indoor production is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, and I mean, that, to me alone, that's the reason why, we're looking at Smoky Mountain Medicinals as a way to be able to provide a really great product. Of course, I'm going to keep the button up on that before it's still kind of in its initial phases of development and then coming along with Brooke's product and stuff like that. But we feel that the combination of these things that we're going to create, these formulations that we're creating right now, are going to just be so beneficial. Just phytocannabinoids in general are just showing so much promise, and they're showing so much ability to help support the body in ways that really are just only imaginable. There are folks who are all over the country touting about the ability of phytocannabinoids to help them get restful sleep again and to, you know, finally help them with their support with their knees or their back or something like that. And it's just been revolutionary for people who have been struggling with that for so many years. And so we're coming up with these products to be able to provide for people because we want you to be able to become empowered and be able to take care of yourself in a way that you never thought imaginable. And so Brooks, I'm telling you right now, Brooks' operation is kind of bar none. I haven't necessarily seen anything like that in quite some time. So why don't we, I appreciate you sharing all that. So like, why don't we talk to folks who might be unaware of really the benefits that hemp can even provide, right? So like, maybe we should kind of explain some of the sciences and start that educational piece that you have made mention. And why don't we just kind of like explain like how, you know, you and I were watching the Farm Bill and things like that, seeing what was going to become considered legal law and everything like that, but also really how phytocannabinoids can benefit the human body. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I think it's worth making a differentiation at the beginning of this between really the types of hemp that are grown and the kind of two different general uses that they're
Perfect.
For.
So, great place to start.
You know, hemp is a cannabis plant, and cannabis has rich genetics from all around the world. And so when people say we're growing hemp, that typically means, and from a legal standpoint, would be a cannabis plant that has less than 0.3% THC in it, Delta-9 THC. Now, there are a lot of different hemp growers and styles of producers in the U.S. and abroad, but mainly we're growing for two different reasons. We're either growing for industrial purposes like seed and fiber and making products like paper and squeezing seed for oils and making juices that are just used in industry. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, we have hemp that is grown specifically for its rich terpene and phytocannabinoid profiles. And those mm-hmm. styles of hemp are bred different. They look different. They have different qualities. And those are the plants that are specifically grown for what we would call medicine making or plant medicines. And so I think it's really for listeners out there to understand, we're not all growing the same type of hemp. Some people are growing more of a rope and an industry hemp, and other of us are growing more plant medicine hemp. And we could talk for hours literally about the genetics and how those have been developed. But for this podcast, I think it's great to just listeners understand that there are two different really types right here that I've explained about.
Yeah, no, I think that that's amazing, and I'm glad that you actually said that because, yeah, so, like, if you look at it, like, I remember, like, looking at it like a species map, if you will, back in, like, you know, high school biology or something like that, where it said, like, here is the ancestor of, you know, these two following species or these three following species or whatever. It's a good way to look at it because that's sort of how it works in the plant world is that, you know, you have cannabis, like, so, like, let's call cannabis maybe the dad or something like that, right? So then
yeah.
you have two branches that come off of that, and you've got one branch that goes toward marijuana, you know, or something that has, of course, THC, and we'll talk about those different, we'll talk about that cannabinoid in order to be able to talk about all the other ones that CBD has, but CBD would be the other style of plant for the plant medicinals that, like, your place is growing. So
yes.
let's just talk about the cannabinoids. We'll kind of like even back the train up right there and talk step A and we'll go from there. Is that, you know, when people hear the word cannabis, unfortunately the connotation has been, so it must be the illegal kind that I'm not allowed to have in possession or touch or anything like that because of its THC. And so like people don't really, I guess I don't even know if they wouldn't even understand what THC even stood for. So THC stands for tetrahydrocannabinol.
Yes.
And when Brooke was talking about the amount, like, he explained to me how, like, you know, you found out or you told me about how scientists and researchers have actually determined the exact phytocannabinoid or the form of cannabinoid that actually causes the psychoactive high. Can you talk about that real quick?
Well, yeah. Basically, the different strains of hemp that are grown all have their own different genetic profiles. And some of those profiles, when they're taken to these laboratories and with the technologies we have now, we can really take these plants and understand the breakdown of every single thing that's in them. And so right now we're utilizing labs all across the country to make sure that we're understanding all the different ranges of terpenes and cannabinoids that are inside. Now, THC is definitely the most talked about and the one that's probably the most well-known because it does have psychoactive effects.
Sure.
But again, this is not necessarily about cultivating plants with high psychoactivity.
Of course.
It's more about exploring the other phytocannabinoids that are there in the plant, but perhaps because we haven't been trying to breed them for them, we haven't had them in high levels before. And for instance, we didn't have high THC, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. The THC levels in the plant were very similar to maybe CBDs. They were lower, sometimes at 10, 15, maybe 20%. Now, we've bred cannabis specifically for psychoactivity in a lot of places around the world. And so what we see is now there's a really high THC cannabis plant out there. Well, these new formats of growing hemp for the other cannabinoids other than THC have led breeders out there to develop breeding programs to where the THC has been brought down and other things like CBG and CBN and CBD and THCV, all of these different cannabinoids are being grown and bred to get these different results. And when you take these different cannabinoids and put them into the human body and they interact with the endocannabinoid system, they provide different results for different people because of individual body chemistries. But the main thing to understand is that each one of the individual aspects, whether it be the terpenes or cannabinoids, they all have different properties that can be utilized in plant medicine. And that's what's so exciting about this is that because the industry is now starting and we're now growing hemp and we're not growing for a THC, we're now breeding a different plant. We're making a totally different plant. It may look the same. It may smell the same. But when you take these things into a lab and you really break them down and you see what's in there, they are very, very different plants. And that's what's so exciting because each plant offers its own plant medicinal properties. And the more we explore the spectrum and array of phytocannabinoids, I think the more we'll be able to actually bring natural health successes to people.
You never cease to amaze me, by the way, because if you guys knew Brooke the way that I know Brooke, Brooke loves to tout himself as I'm just a farmer. And to hear the knowledge that just came out of you about all of the really just hands-on, of course, approach that you've had toward the CBD plants that you're growing, or really just, I should say, the cannabis plants that you're growing, is just, it's overwhelmingly great. I mean, that's a lot of really great information, a lot of really great content. And you heard Brooke talk about the endocannabinoid system. So if you don't mind, maybe just for the next minute or so, I'd like to kind of explain that as well, because, you know, I don't want to make sure that, you know, these terms that we're throwing out and stuff like that, you guys are aware, if you're listening to this, that you guys are aware of what all these different terms, in fact, are. So we talked about tetrahydrocannabinol, and Brooke did a great explanation of how the industry has shown that we can stay away from that particular version of cannabis and move toward one that is going to be more plant medicine-based and industrial-based. But then you talk about CBD. Well, you know, we all know acronyms and stuff like that, but CBD is just cannabidiol. And so cannabidiol is the one that when he was saying about CBG and CBN, there's different cannabinoids. There's like hundreds of cannabinoids inside of a cannabis plant. And I'd say that like we're really only scratching the surface of the ability of a cannabis plant in terms of the effects that it can have in the human body. And that is done through something called the endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system has two primary receptors all over every cell inside of your body, and those are either referred to as the CB1 or cannabinoid 1, and then the cannabinoid 2 receptor. So far, that's what medical research has been able to discover. And so it's really great because when we think about the use of a product that contains CBD or cannabidiol, we are going to be able to actually affect the cells of the human body because we're already programmed, our genetics already have the receptors ready to receive something like that. When you think about how something becomes bioactive or bioavailable inside the human body, you want to look at the door to, say, whatever, you know, room in your house or maybe your front door or something like that, and there's only one particular key that will open up that particular door. That is the same way that our body works in the understanding of the bioactivity of a chemical or a product or, you know, plant-based anything inside of the human body, is that cannabidiol can see that particular type of receptor, the CB2 receptor, and actually say, oh, that's where I'm supposed to join. And that's where I'm supposed to actually lock in. And so when we think about the two different types of receptors, CB1 receptors are actually located in our central nervous system. And the central nervous system is what gets activated by that delta 9 THC that can cause the psychoactive high. So that would be a CB1 receptor, predominantly more so in our central nervous system, which is our brain and spinal cord. Whereas CB2 receptors have been really good about showing like healthy inflammatory response and, just calming of the body, being able to reduce feelings of anxiousness and depressive style of feelings and stuff like that. Those are predominantly more activated by CB2 receptors. And those CB2 receptors end up being on the periphery of our body. So think like, our arms, our legs, anything outside of our brain and spinal cord. And so it's really wonderful to know, for me, like myself, I want a product where I know that I'm still doing the same benefit to my body that I can using phytocannabinoids, whereas I don't necessarily want the added side effects of the possibility of a psychoactive high. So that's why I love products that contain CBD, because that, not, number one, I'm staying legal, of course, but number two, I'm also doing a great deal of benefit for my body. So I really love the fact that we now live in a time where we can understand plant medicine like this and like what Brooke has been explaining, to where we now have some way of being able to help ourselves through more of a natural means. Does that sound something similar to what you've been wanting to profess across these mountaintops, Brooke?
Yeah, I mean, basically, as a farmer, I believe in plant medicine, and I believe food is medicine. And, water is medicine. These are the mm-hmm. things that sustain our life. Now, when we go back and look at the history of human evolution, cannabis has co-evolved with us. Cannabis has been a part of the human story since humans had a story. And I think there is something special about that, in the sense that there is a reason that this plant interacts with our body. There's a reason that we have receptors that receive exactly what this plant produces.
Yep,
it's almost
yep.
as natural as I look at a body of clear, cool mountain water, and I'm thirsty and I want to drink it.
Yep.
It belongs inside of me, and it's a natural process. And it's even through my own intuition, it tells me that it's a good thing. And so I'm just blown away at the science we have now. I think civilizations have known about the power of cannabis, for thousands
sure.
of years.
Sure.
We're really able to unlock the why and how. And I think that just also unlocks the kind of the beauty and mystery of our human experience and the human body in general. And so, and to speak to the THC component, there's a place for it. It's currently not legal in a lot of states. It is legal in some states. However, to understand how these components all work together, it's important to understand the concept of the entourage effect. And this is a term you're going to hear out in the industry, is entourage. And what that means is, the more of these components you get together, it seems that sometimes they're more effective this way. And especially if you're dealing with very intense issues like cancers and tumors, sometimes the necessity of the THC is there because it activates a higher degree of this entourage effect, and it's more effective at healing. And again, the different ratios and blends of all of these components and these phytocannabinoids, they all yield different results within the human body. And
sure.
it's much like, years ago when we were understanding cholesterol. You just heard the term cholesterol. Now there's all these different types of cholesterol. There's good cholesterol.
Yep.
There's bad cholesterol. It's very similar to phytocannabinoids in the sense that, we look at it as just one plant. Now we're looking at it, the different ones and the different components, and which ones play what role in our nutrition, and what things actually are healthy and which ones aren't. And I think it's just all about better understanding the human body and understanding our world. And the more we do that, the more we find out that there are plants out there and other organisms like fungi that when they interact with the human body, it seems there's a natural chemistry that is meant to happen. And that's what gets me so excited about working with this plant.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like we're born of the world, Like we are very much rooted. And I think that if we can maybe start we can consider starting to finish up where we left, where we first started, or leave where we kind of came around and come to like a full circle, is that it is that you can look at the sustainable, renewable movement of people who are wanting to just even maybe create a backyard herb garden. And I would want to do something. Know that eating something that they prepare or eating something that they can look at and watch it grow and everything like that, there's so much more to it than just basic nutrition. Like, there's something about being rooted and revitalized by working with our wonderful planet. And being able to actually have a piece of that is refreshing for people, you know? And so it's amazing to know now that we live in a world that's only 2018, 2019, where this is looking like it's going to become the norm for the next at least 5 to 10 years of people really developing the hemp industry. And I know that, you know, you're excited, and I know a lot of others are excited about this, because we're going to have that same renewed sense of spirit of, look, we're going to be connected to the things that are so important to us, because our bodies have been designed to work with the earth the way that they do.
Yeah, it's healing in kind of in really two modalities. One, it heals the human body. Two, it's going to heal the economy in a lot of ways.
Yep.
And what I mean by this, our economy in a lot of ways is doing great, but when you look down at small town America, Main Street America, farmers, you know, right now we've got a median age of the farmer is in the 60s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, farmers don't really make much money. We've also lost a lot of our textiles. We've lost a lot of things to having to import. The hemp industry not only will have these health benefits, but the economic impact of being able to work with fuel and fiber and textiles, it's just amazing what it's going to be able to do. And I think it's really going to unlock more human potential. And I honestly, when you give something like that to Americans, we typically do a really good job with this. And I'm really excited to see what the whole country does, because different states are leading in different ways. And I think we're going to see new technologies come out. We're seeing hempcrete and people doing building materials. You know, this can help with deforestation. There's just so many things that hemp seems to heal other than the human body that it may just unlock a lot of human potential for us.
Oh, man, you said that so perfect. And I once again keep imagining that you've told me many times before, I'm just a farmer. No, you're not, Brooke. A farmer, visionary, just amazing what you've been able to do to impact everybody. And so that's why I hope that, you know, you got something out of this. This might be one of those ones that, you know, one of those podcasts, you need to go back and go take a listen to it, because there was a lot of information that we just went over in a relatively short period of time. But it's because there's just so much already out there that we kind of already understand, but we really want to help you to be able to understand it as well. You know, we're still learning every single day, but we just wanted to get on here for at least a half hour and just sort of knowledge share with you guys to help you understand what this industry is all about. And then on top of it all, you know, we really only first got the understanding of this within the last year. You know, it's been something that we kind of saw some stuff happening and popping up over in the western side of the United States, but it's really exciting because the number one industry of most of the states, surprisingly enough, over here on the eastern side of the United States, is actually agricultural. And so it will be a huge commodity that is going to do exactly what Brooke just said. It's going to influx a lot of really great job opportunities. You know, you've got workers who've got to obviously go out to the fields and do the harvesting, do the processing, but then think about all the industrial folks that will be able to be hired because of all the different types of textile industry booming that will happen because of having this new product to be able to actually work with as well. So I wanted to make sure that I just did one shameless plug, if I may, Brooke, before we plug you, of course, and that is, if you want to hear more about the endocannabinoid system, I have done a recent podcast. I believe if you just look in our older episodes, maybe about a month or two ago, I did a podcast on the endocannabinoid system, all the different types of receptors that I just kind of briefly made mention, but I really got into the weeds about that. And so if you really want to see, or should say hear, about that system in particular, please go check out that old episode as well. But Brooke, I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. You're in the middle of a harvest right now, right?
So aren't you?
Yeah,
we're pulling plants. We had to get them down for the rain started to come, and we're in the warehouse trimming for the next few days.
So I can't thank you enough for spending, you know, the last half hour with me. It's been unbelievably great, and I hope that you know, everything goes well with this harvest and that you're able to get all of the wonderful dreams you've got set up for 2019. Is that one of your biggest dreams? Is just what was one? Why don't you tell me like what your quote unquote New Year's resolution is? What do you think it could be?
You know, I really just want to hone my skills and my craft. For years, I've been kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, but I've been pretty good at almost everything I do.
Yeah.
I'm really focusing on two things in the next year. One is my family, and two is going to be hemp and an expansion of my company, an expansion of my farming efforts, and trying to just bring high quality products to the marketplace.
Yeah.
And so just family and farming is basically what I'm focusing on, and I look forward to really developing this aspect of my craft.
I don't think you're ever going to go wrong with either one of those things. And the one other thing that I know that you've said to me in the past was that you also just want to simply help people. And I just remember genuinely when you said that. That was
I believe that people are best able to help others when they first help themselves. And by that, I mean going out and doing good and actually producing things instead of just consuming. And so it makes me happy to help others because it allows me to do what I'm good at and allows me to have a trade. It allows me to have something to do every day. And I just encourage other people to do the same, is go out and find out what makes you happy and do that. And when you do that, you'll find that everyone around you is better off because of it.
Yeah, so perfect. So perfectly said. With that, I can't even outdo that. So we'll just leave you guys. We'll just leave everybody who's listening to the podcast with that. But once again, if you want to check Brooke out and what he's doing, go to SmokyMountainMedicinals.com. Are you a .com, right?
Actually, that's going to be SmokyMeds.com, SmokyMeds.com. And then you can also find our supply stores at LotusFarmAndGarden.com. So if you're looking for help just farming or growing or really doing anything on your personal journey of homesteading, feel free to contact us, and our products and information are available on both websites.
Oh, thank you so much, Brooke, by the way, for joining us. That was fantastic. I mean, I just can't thank you enough. So, like I said, please go check him out. Go check him out on Facebook. Go to his websites. You won't be upset because they really do have just this wonderful heart of sustainability, and they really want to help you. So if you've ever been curious about where do I even consider getting started with farming, you've got your step one right there. Get in touch with Brooke and his wonderful staff over at Lotus. So, Brooke, I can't thank you enough. I mean, it was a pleasure to speak with you today, and I just learned so much every single conversation I have with you about what you're learning and what you already know and the way ahead. And yeah, I can't thank you enough for your precious time that you spent with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. Always is a pleasure to talk with you, and I look forward to next time.
Absolutely. And so if you could, guys, like or subscribe, leave us a review, leave us a comment. We absolutely answer those. We promise this is a super interactive podcast, and I hope that this is just one larger piece that is going to help you toward your journey in unconventional wellness. Take care, and we'll talk to you again on our next podcast.